Hey there, friends and family of Werder Bremen. Welcome to the live Werder Bremen post-game show. It remains chaos. This is, of course, the show by the fans for the fans. If you are new to the show, you can listen to this live when we go on every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we got a number of crew members have already jumped in on the show today. So we got King Ian joining us. Paul is here. Spivey Sooner is here. I'm pretty sure I saw Le Chef somewhere poking in and around here. And of course, what show would be a show without Christian? Christian, what it do?
What it motherfucking do? What's going on, fella?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. How was the big international break? You had a big weekend off. You didn't have to come here and talk about this stuff. Yeah.
It was okay. I'm trying to think of what I did. I think I actually took it really I don't think come I did on. Anything because, well, it's a lot of birthdays, including my own, and those tend to drain both a person emotionally, physically.
It was your birthday the last time we were on the air. And then you had a weekend off. Do you celebrate it all the way through, like 2 weeks worth there? I don't know what happened. I can't hear you, Christian. Did something happen again?
Fucking dude, this drives me insane. Okay, so these new this is the fucking stupidest thing in the world. These new earphones, I have to keep the screen like active in order for you to hear me.
Oh, sorry.
So if I it's fucking like, what goddamn world are we living in? Anyways, it was also my best friend's birthday shortly after my birthday. Anyways, it's draining. and here I am, less of a man in so many ways.
I mean, I'm a little bit more, I tend to be a little bit more intellectual. I take the weekend and I do a little research and reading, educate myself a little bit.
I don't know if pornography really counts as any of those things, but I mean,
well, hey, who am I to judge? This last weekend, I learned that Americans don't have access to Fudgios.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me.
Which is really bad. Probably one of the greatest cookies, as far as mass produced, laced with chemical cookies that are out there. I was really shocked.
Anyway, one more difference between you and I. I'm not a sweet tooth guy in any capacity. I could never eat one of those for the rest of my life, and I'd probably sleep okay.
Well, thinking of something you could eat out, I also learned that Instagram model, Jocelyn Carna, something like that. I guess this is two years old, but I just learned she died while getting a Brazilian butt lift.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no shock there. I mean, mine definitely, played havoc with my immune system for a bit, but I'm back to normal. And my ass looks fat.
What a way to go out.
I can crush cans in my cheeks now. Let me tell you. Death by BBL, says Ian. I don't know, man. I can think of a worse way to go. I mean, if you're going to smother me, you might as well make it that, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're not able to catch us live, if maybe now you don't want to be here when we're live, you can find us as a podcast on just about every platform that you can find podcasts on, or you can reach out to Christian on Twitter at SVWOMYTFC and myself at NotEasyGreen. And if you want to send larger bits of mail, you can send it to NotEasyGreen2017@gmail.com. Now, there's lots of other stuff going on in Werder North America. Obviously, the main hive of activity is our Discord. You're more than welcome to join that. You can find a link for that, plus the shop. Plus, I think there's links to our Instagram, slightly less enjoyable than Jocelyn Carna, whatever. And Sooner is always doing a blog or something as well. And so the link to Sooner's blog is there. You can find all of that on the Linktree. Linktree.com/Werder.ee/Werder.ne. Christian, I want to get your immediate feedback. How many of our listeners have already Googled Jocelyn Carna?
Oh, I'm going to say 98% of them, because the 2% know exactly who she is and are still mourning. Still mourning her today. Candle lit with like one of those pictures, you know, it's like a picture frame of her. I will remember you. Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. That's right.
All right, well, let's get into it here. Werder, fresh off the international break, set out to put an end to a three-game losing skid against a team struggling just as poorly. However, Werder would have to do it without two of its regular midfielders in Steya and Leinen, and without creative impulse Weiser. Now, during the week, an injury to Njinma also ruled out the speedy up-and-comer, and an injury to Kovanatsky during the test match depleted the depth at striker yet further. The lineup and the bench was an eclectic spectacle, whoever was left, plus Dukes. Fortunately for Werder, Friedel returned from injury just in time to act as a guiding speed bump for the ever-quickening pace of the downward trajectory. It would be after 35 minutes or so that Werder genuinely looked as though they might have what it takes to hang with Wolfsburg and their shiny new coach, but it would be a sucky defensive play followed by a harsh call from an official that I apparently said was good. That would start the wheels falling off our little proverbial green and white wagon. So, as so often, Werder, after being dealt a blow, failed to calm themselves and regain composure. Within moments of the red card issued to Jung, Werder would concede a goal so typical of many goals they've conceded this year: panic, scramble, and no one aware of their defensive responsibilities. Truly, Werder's set-piece defending all game was very weak. On the back half of the goal, Dukes managed to pick up his eighth yellow card of the season, seven of which have been as a result of complaining to the officials. As in the last two losses, Werder would be handed a lifeline with a red card being issued to Wolfsburg. But only moments after Agu saves a goal off the line, Werder once again lose the ball in the midfield, and a simple pass splits Werder's defense and sends a player through on goal. Yet another game where Werder's opponents offer them a way back in, and Werder fail to assert themselves. Christian, you watched the game. I'm not sure how much of it you watched or cared to watch.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was fucking dreadful.
When you're watching a game like that, what other things are happening?
Shit.
And this isn't a PG-rated show, so I guess whatever, you know, you can just go right for it.
Pornography for sure. And then like greasing up my BBL. kind of depends on what kind of shape I'm in. I'm probably on Instagram just like scanning through shit. I don't know, reading the news. Actually, you know what? I'm probably on Twitter reading what people's commentary is, because I'm curious to see whether the tides are changing. I mean, once again, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It's tough to see whether Twitter's an actual barometer for, you know, for whether people are actually starting to get fed up, or if they're still 100% supportive of, I guess, Ole and our front office and whatnot. Yeah, doing everything but watching the game attentively, basically. I try to make sure that I usually have my three ups, three downs already finished. It's kind of like your homework. You're like, I'll just get this out of the way, and then I don't actually have to pay
10 minutes too much attention. You've got them all done, and then you can just, you know, wank off the rest of the
game. Yeah, that's right. I think actually this game I started working out, so I was doing burpees and skate. I don't know. I got like a whole fucking thing I can do at home. Just keep this beautiful fucking physique of mine, this well-oiled fucking Cadillac of a body.
The trunk, anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Now let's get through it. I guess we've got a lot of questions this week from listeners and fans of the show. So thanks for that, everybody. And I should probably catch up and say Dustin Mueller is here. And Connie Cornetto, I'm going to guess. Sorry if I said that wrong. Welcome to the show. And yeah, if you guys want to jump on Discord at some point in time, you can DM questions to me there or on Twitter. But we'll get, like we said, Christian, we got a ton of them, so we'll have to get through to that. And we're going to do a little bit of, HHG versus Dijkstube Goss. But yeah.
Hot tea.
That's right. We'll kick it off with Christian's homework and the three up, three down. So, Christian, let's start with the things that were amazing, because this should be a fairly short segment.
All right, give me half a second. So I'm going to try and switch over. So if you don't hear me while I'm talking, just say as much, okay?
Okay. Doo-doo. Doo-doo.
No, you can't. Oh, that is so fucking irritating. Anyways, what the fuck? Like, what? It's 20 guys.
I can't hear you again, so I don't know what happened there.
Fucking, are you fucking serious? Wow. All right, 2024. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, I hate this shit so much.
I'm just imagining you standing on the top of your apartment, just kind of leaning off the edge while holding onto an antenna somewhere.
No, honestly, it's not even that. I'm like flipping between Podbean and my Notepad. So the minute I go to Notepad, it cuts out again because these fucking retarded earphones, apparently the mic won't work unless I'm directly linked into Podbean at the time. This is mind-boggling. Yeah, this honestly feels like some early 90s type of horse shit. Okay, anyways. So, for good. I said Skelly, Aaron, and Insuin got some time. Paul was joking about this 10 seconds ago, saying, you know, what were good. So, yeah, the three kids that we've been waiting to see forever from the transfer window all got playing time today. They all looked, I have to admit, I wasn't even really paying attention to Insuin. I'm sure he, probably played all 4 minutes on the field.
Yeah,
5,
I think he got.
Yeah, and I think Aaron probably had maybe like 10, looked okay, and Skelly looked great, you know, no big issues there. My next one was, I wrote, kinda got playing time, I guess. So yeah, I guess his tummy's doing better. Thanks for showing up, bud. What a fucking masterclass signing. I'm not even gonna bitch about that. Who cares? And I said subs before the 70th minute. So
67th, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Talk about low fucking bars.
Yeah.
So those were my three top positives, you know. Right. Oh yeah, and then somebody said Aaron got a yellow.
Yeah, that's got something out of the game.
yeah, seriously.
Well, I really have to apologize for ever saying that the referee, like, honestly, I've had decent, like, I've watched decent games. I genuinely felt he was a decent ref, but that was probably one of the worst officiating games I've seen in a long time. But again, we're talking about ups, so yeah. My apologies. I only have one up, and it's probably going to shock a few people that it is the up that I've chosen. But the up I've chosen is that the team had a game plan, or that at least saw them level with their opponents for the first 35 minutes.
starting to sound like Deichstube, fucking Visa Courier.
I think a lot of us, even just in the so, and that's another thing for joining the Discord. There's a live game chat for those of you that are listening on podcast later on. Whenever the games go live, we do a live chat there. It's a lot of fun, and that's usually what I spend my time doing when I'm watching or not watching Werder when they're playing like ass. But a lot of us were observing prior to the red card that Werder were looking actually like the better team on the field. And it's not that the game was set up that I felt that Werder could have won really, but I felt if they kept a clean game, a 0-0 draw would have been a possibility. The way everybody just grabs sound bites and stuff. I won't defend Werner over the course of the season, but for this isolated game, it would seem as though the deck was stacked firmly against him and Werner. I mean, you're missing 2/3 of your regular midfield. You're just starting to get a couple of center backs back into shape. Jinma's out. Kovanatsky's out. So I'm going to give him credit for the first 35 minutes of the game, actually having a game plan that looked like we could maybe pull out a 0-0 draw, possibly snatch a win or kind of a 1-1 draw. I really don't feel like we were in a position to do anything more. Now, with that said, anyone who is off the back of this game jumps on the Ole out train, get off. All you've done is put your finger in the wind, and now you've decided it's time to move. What on earth about this game would make you lose faith in Werner if you hadn't already? You know, circumstances had pushed Werner to field an entirely new team, and with what he was left to choose from. But rather than design a game plan that fits the players that were available, he jams them into the existing failing system. If nothing else, if you are on the side of keeping Werner, this game should only solidify your position because of the circumstances that were stacked against him. If you've just now jumped on the Ole Werner bandwagon or the Ole Werner out bandwagon after this game, it's not for you. Get out. Right. You're just trying to find a winning side.
You can't.
Anyway,
sit
that
with
was
us.
My
fair. Wow. Just reeks of positivity in here.
Well, and since, right. we go from glory to glory, let's say
yeah.
the things
yeah,
that
seriously.
Suck. And what
it's
sucks.
The theme of this season, isn't it? this is going to come.
Vertebrame in the English account on Twitter. They, after the game, they posted a onward and upward is what they posted. And so I responded with, well, onward anyway.
Yeah.
The trajectory, I guess, is open for discussion.
Onward and plummeting quickly towards the bottom of the table. Fucking hemorrhaging points. So this is going to come as a shock for everybody. So my first bad was our lack of creativity and finishing in the final third. I know. When you think of us on the field, you think of us as being free flying, you know, scoring to and fro all the live long day. But alas,
of whether we score a goal, it's how many goals we score.
That's correct. God damn it. There we go. Sorry, the fucking screen went black, which means you wouldn't be able to hear me again. This is ridiculous. I really can't believe this shit. This is absolutely mental. So anyways, that was my first one. My next one was the red card call. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm not ever going to blame a ref for us playing like shit, or for our coach being fucking wildly inept. But once in a while, unfortunately, a referee will sort of dictate, or at least have a hand in how the rest of the game goes. And I know that seems like I'm treading a really fine line, or I'm not even really articulating it, but I do want people to recognize that our players, and more importantly, I think our coach has a steady hand in how shit we've been doing lately. And usually like the card is like a supplement to that, you know, like, so we were talking about how, actually, I think you brought up a good point. Just the way we were set up defensively, it was almost inevitable that we were going to get a red card, just with the way that it was set up. And, you know, I think there's an element of truth to that. But sometimes there's just like fucking refs who don't know what on God's green earth they're doing. And we saw that for 90 plus minutes yesterday. It was kind of insult to injury. It was already a fucking terrible game. I don't think for a second we were going to win that anyways. But I don't think it nearly could have been as bad as it was. And finally, I just said gross slash.
I got a bumper for this. Officiating was shit. There we go.
Not wrong. I guess that could have been the easier way to say it. And the last one was more the same. I said gross slash more the same. Yeah, we couldn't beat a team that was worse than us. Like, they actually are fucking worse than us. You know what I mean?
They're the worse than the backup options we had to choose from.
Yeah.
To field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to buy this. Like, we need better players. I think we actually just need a better coach. Because there have been times this season where our players have been able to play and they look great. We just need somebody that can use them to their strengths. Can we always add more players? Absolutely. Is there some deadwood we could chop? 100%. But as a whole, I think we actually have a half decent team, and I don't think we're underperforming because of the players. I think we're underperforming because Ole is not Bundesliga caliber coach. We lost to a fucking terrible. Like, how many games was it that they hadn't won? And won an 11 or 13?
I think. I could be wrong.
Jesus, there. I had 11. Either way, that's fucking embarrassing. Yeah. That is wildly fucking embarrassing at home. At fucking home. People should be livid. You know, and
says there says we have a better team and we're going to finish with fewer points than last season in a league that's worse.
Yeah, there you go. And I mean, like, I for the love of me. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my final thing. I was going to go on a rant, but I forget where it went. So
you've been saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right. So the first thing that I've got for things that sucked was short corner on the right side. Question mark. This was something new, I guess, offered by Werder, which caused my eyebrow to raise on the first attempt. And it seems maybe that the right-footed Duke outswinger is no longer what Werner was looking to accomplish or something. So now he was looking to set up a kind of a triangulation option with the corner taker and then two players coming short. I guess the idea being then is to draw the defense out and then send in a cross or take on a shot, depending on the opportunity. And honestly, one of the struggles this idea faced was that the players that were selected, they aren't going to instinctively draw man-marking coverage. The players that were selected, if they were in the box, I should say, wouldn't naturally draw man-marking coverage. And then they're also the same players that would fail to make an impact from that position. So you got players like Jung out on the outside there. You know, the reason he's going to get the opportunity to take that shot is because the defense isn't going to close him down because they realize he can't shoot. Like, they're not a threat from this position. They can't cross. He's a left footer on the right hand side.
Wow, that speaks fucking volumes when they're just like, yeah, we'll leave that guy alone. It's like, you know, special needs kid that's on the pitch. Yeah, like, go and like make sure he knows that he's playing, but don't worry about it.
Just give him the ball for a little bit, would you? Like,
yeah. Everybody stand back. He's coming in.
My favorite bit, though, and yeah, Paul just put it in there. I don't know who it was, but somebody had one of those wind-up sirens. Those types of sirens, right? And it happened twice where that siren went off during this particular, you know, right-sided corner short option. And the first one was a Jung shot, right? And he hits a shot with his left foot, and it peels 20 feet wide of the net, and all you hear is, I said, all God. That was missing was a little Benny Hill music for that. It was terrible. I don't know what has happened. I mean, we're talking at the beginning of the season. We were getting shit on because we said this team sucks at standards. This team sucks at corners. This team sucks at dead ball situations. And the common denominator for that is Dukes, right? And then Dukes goes and he manages to land one corner. I think it was the first one he's done in like over 100 possible takes.
Masterclass.
And then he comes out, you know, basically does the, you know, shut up everybody because I'm amazing at what I do, right? And again, we're now a full season later, and Werder are not, they're not at all a threat from corners or set pieces at all. At what point in time can we just stop putting Dukes there? I mean, Schmid, I guess, I think he landed a corner just during the international break. I might have been mistaken, but I think he took a corner. You know, why isn't Schmid an option? I mean, the guy's 4 foot nothing. What's he supposed to do on the field during a corner situation? Put him in the corner. Let him kick the ball. Like, nice.
Seriously.
Yeah. Okay. That was the first thing that sucked. The second thing that sucked was we got final seven games of the season, and Werder is in a full-out tailspin. Werder are sitting with 30 points after 27 matches. Once again, getting back into the single point per game average that has become Werner's sweet spot. So for those of you that thought I was a little soft on Werner, here we go. In the Bundesliga, Werner has averaged 1.08 points per game, making him the second worst Werner manager in the top tier since Dutt. He edges out Dutt by a narrow 0.06 points per game, basically meaning they suck equally. Werner has also enjoyed double the number of games compared to Dutt. So the question needs to be asked, and I think you've already addressed this, so I think you might have taken away my... Is Werner outperforming a terrible squad, which is why he needs to stay? Or is Werner underperforming in a squad that could achieve more with the right coaching?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think some guys were doing this on the Discord. When we take a look at the squad that Doot was tasked with managing, and you think about that side playing our current side, I actually, when I took a look at it, pound for pound, I actually think that Werner has the access to the more talented group than what Doot had. You know, in goal, we're far stronger with Zeddy and Pavlos compared to Mielitz and Wolf.
Yeah.
Right. in defense, I'd say we have more depth. I'd argue that the 2013 team had the best center back in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Prudel. But the overall depth that we have now, I think, is better. On the left flank, they had Garcia and TGS, which I think gives them a slight edge. But believe it or not, our shoddy midfield this year is well superior to 2013.
Absolutely.
Like, in 2013, they had Januzovic and Hunt. That was basically it. I mean, Bargfried was always injured. Ekachi never found whatever talent was supposed to be there. Yeah. And then, of course, in attack, I think they had probably a better attacking squad than we did. But in the end, I think on the whole, that Werner's got access to a more talented squad.
I think so. It's, you know what I'd say? It's more like level or equal. Does that make sense? Like, where it was kind of heavy, like talent. They had more talent in, or I guess players with significant talent in certain areas, there wasn't a lot of them. So it made it like kind of like top heavy, defense light, midfield was like spotty at best. Whereas I would say across the board here, we actually have half the, well, our defense, it really isn't that awesome, but it's probably, like you said, it's got depth. You know, they're all kind of the same caliber, but our midfield's pretty decent. Our fucking offense, I mean, if I'm you know what? I think it's better. I think it's better.
I mean, we're talking about Arnautovic, Peterson, DeSanto. I think Elia
Peterson never played. DeSanto was like, had a great season, then fucked off. He had one season with us and then disappeared.
As far as the talent level, I would probably put my eggs in the basket comparatively to Dukes and and his whoever.
Sure. Honestly, Dukes and Arnautovic are fairly fucking similar, except for Arnautovic is like a really good player at this fucking point in time. You know?
Dukes and Arnautovic are basically the same guy, except Arnautovic has
talent disparity. Significant talent disparity. But basically, Peterson didn't really start to play well until way later on in his career. He was still pretty young then, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, and I think Fulkrug was a 21-year-old on that squad too.
There you go. So he wasn't even fucking playing. Yeah, and when he wasn't playing like a huge amount per se, or like scoring a ton of really good goals. You know what I mean? Like, it was spotty. There was some fucking talent there, but it was like, was Aaliyah there as well? Yeah, El Hero. Yeah. See, he was just fast. That's it. There was nothing else to him. Fast basically, as fuck, but you know,
basically like in Jinma, just fast.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
We'll keep moving on here. A third thing that sucks is that I can't name any one thing on this team that I would change to right the ship. And that's a problem. It's also why I get a little bit pissy when people start talking about Europe after a 3-game win streak. Each thing that we see on the field isn't the issue. It's a symptom of a much larger, deeper lying issue. And even if those, and all those things, I don't think could be addressed with the kind of like a single move, you know, just, and I just scribbled down an example here. You know, if the argument is, well, you can't expect more with all these injuries, you know, Werner isn't in control of building the squad. Frank is, you know, okay. So we've got all these injuries. There isn't enough depth around there, you know, it's not Werner's fault. Okay, well, then whose fault is it for building the squad? Well, that would be Frank. Well, Frank doesn't have any money. Well, why doesn't Frank have any money? Well, because Frank spent it all when we did have some money on some really piss poor deals. Like, Bittencourt is still running around on the field for us and getting paid more than most of the other players on the team. You know,
we paid $7 million for him, I think.
Yeah, you know,
$7 million.
So if you're going to say that we have a depth issue, at a cursory glance, we actually have to travel all the way back to the transfer work from 2017 to 2020 to understand the source of the problem today. Within all of that was, of course, the dismissal of Steiten in 2019, and the types of players that we brought in after Steiten left also creates a massive problem. Like, we paid top dollar in transfers, top dollar in salary to guys, you know, to be sitting on the injured list all season. And this is just one example of a surface problem that people look at that has a much deeper explanation. This is what I mean when I say I can't point at any one thing that I would change on this team to right the ship.
No.
Because the problems that we point at have got such deep underlying issues that it requires a lot of deep work, stuff behind the scenes to change in order for us to get this right. You know, and there's a couple other examples that I had as well, you know, where people just kind of point at something, you know, and you know, Werder can't score, just can't create scoring opportunities, let's say, right? You see that thrown out. Oh, we just can't create scoring opportunities anymore. Okay, well, why?
Whose fault is that?
Right? Like, yeah.
Well, their immediate response is they go to the players, right? Well, the players aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, how would you change that? Right, so you can't clean house. So what would you do then? Like, it's the job of the coach to play to the strengths of the players. Like, he's not just there to say, like, okay, guys, you can do it. He actually needs to be fucking involved in strategy. So if they're not doing it under this current strategy, what could he do differently? You know?
Well, this is what I mean when I say if we just look at a surface problem, it goes so much deeper. And so in my notes there, I just, you know, in 2021, 22, we got to back up 3 years. You know, Werner was able to utilize a squad and kind of piggyback off a discovery that Anfang made, playing with a back three and two striker pairing. Now, when you consider the two strikers we fielded and the typical three defenders in the second league, we were able to outperform most teams on the talent scale. Like, offense was generated by aggressive pressing, and then the individual failings of our players, we didn't really notice them because of the gap in talent between the two leagues. In 2022-23, Werner basically fields the same team, reapplies the structure to the Bundesliga, and it takes off like a shot until around the winter break when coaches design their game plan against it. And then we're also facing an increase in individual talent per team. Teams were able to break down the Werner press and exploit our individual weaknesses. You know, one of them being like a slow back three that played a high line. You know, despite the worst point collection total in a calendar year, Werner has continued with the basic structure of the team he fields week in and week out. He has adapted how the team plays, but ultimately the system exposes many of the individual failings of the players that have become thoroughly known by the league right now. Werner refuses to adapt or experiment in a meaningful way over a year and a half, and it shows on the field. Again, just looking at a simple cursory problem, you do a little bit of digging and we figure it out. Werner had success with something and he isn't going to change.
My dog used to go back, he found a french fry in this one corner. So every fucking day after that, he'd go looking for a french fry. There was never a french fry there ever again. But he was absolutely certain at some point in time, because he had found it that one fucking time, that it was inevitable and he was going to find that goddamn french fry. Rest in peace, though.
You know what I really appreciate about what you just did there is that for everybody that has got an IQ of like room temperature, you brought it for them. You brought it right down to where they could just take that and run with it. That was great.
Hey, it's literally my job. Christian's doing burpees and eating fries. Close to it, man. Close to it.
All right, we're going to get into an article that the Dijkstube wrote and then to your questions. Hold tight.
ESPN Plus Originals. The exclusive home of the complete 30 for 30 library.
Yeah, then you're right. I'm never getting rid of that sooner. It allows me. All right, we're going to set up this next segment.
Until that lawsuit actually happens, which is right? Almost a fucking certainty at this point.
Well, I don't mean to put him on the spot, but Big Ben does music production. And I sent a message to him the other day and I said, hey, you'd mentioned.
What are the chances?
you'd mentioned maybe making some stuff for us. So can you maybe do that? I'm pretty sure we're going to get sued here one of these days.
Awesome. If you do make a theme song for us, I want it to be like mouth harp. And maybe one of those like boards, the washboards that they use, like like some Kentucky fucking doing
doing doing in the kind of in the background,
that's right. Something blowing on one of those like bottles, a jug band. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. All right. So almost every international week around Werder is pretty dull. Dull for a multitude of reasons, most of which is that over the last number of years, the games that are being played during that week have very little to do with our squad. Now, that said, during this last international week, there was all kinds of dust being kicked up, but for a completely different reason. The Dijkstube, normally not recognized in public due to their collective heads being shoved so far up Werder's ass, produced an article intimating that all is not well in the upper Werder echelon. The subject of criticism was Hubert Hess Grünwald, hereafter referred to as HHG for brevity's sake. Now, the article, if you haven't read it, is rather damning of the president of the club and chairman of the supervisory board. And the article cited sources from within Werder who are not happy with HHG and his apparent lack of productivity over the last number of months. But equally interesting was the reaction to the article. So Werder fans across the spectrum rose up to fully rebuff beat writer Bjorn Knips and call him to retract the article, write an apology, and in some cases resign from his post. Following the collective fan outrage at the article was a statement from Werder the next day, also condemning the article and standing behind the apparent whipping boy of the piece, HHG. Now, shortly after this statement from Werder, we find, again, the Dijkstube not only didn't retract the story, they didn't edit the story, nor offer an apology, but they doubled down. They stated that the story will remain and that they stand behind their work. Now, I want to go through a couple of parts of this article and just take them kind of on face value. The article, of course, it interests me, but what I find far more interesting is the resulting wake of reaction from the club, the fans, and then, of course, the reaction from Dijkstube ultimately. Now, before we get to that article, because I kind of set it up here, can we just reflect for a moment? Christian, if this was your job, if you were a journalist, a beat writer, what would it take for you to write something that could potentially cost you your job?
Probably something pretty fucking groundbreaking. So like corruption or some sort of shit that's going to land somebody in hot water. And I would like to think that, and I laugh at this, I would like to think that I would be a journalist of high integrity. So I'm not just out there raking muck. You know, so you wouldn't just throw this out there willy nilly, especially in a community so fucking small like Bremen, and B, where you know you are going to get clap back, and you're probably going to get it in the streets. You know, children will spit on you, dogs will fucking chase you, which kind of feels, like that's what's happened. You know what I mean?
Knips has been one of the focal writers for Dijkstube since they basically amalgamated with Weiser Courier. His livelihood depends on being able to access information from Werder, like keeping his sources confidential, building up trust within the organization. And up until this point, it was really rare that a negative word was uttered about Werder. And it's likely to remain that going forward for the status quo. But for those who decided first to react and call Knips a liar and a slanderer, have you taken any time to consider what this was going to cost him personally? I'm guessing he did. Like, why would you write it? And if you're going to write it while protecting your sources, you'd better make sure you cited sources where it was necessary to leave out their details, which he did. You don't find speculation in the article. You find him constantly linking back to information he has gathered from internal sources. Finally, the article is, if it's nothing more than a hit piece, right? Why give us finite, tangible details that anyone can follow up on? If it's a sham, follow the facts laid out in the article and demonstrate them as false.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, honestly, like, and that's it. Like, go through it with a fine tooth comb. Say, this is horse shit. Here's why. This is horse shit. Here's why. But they didn't even do that. They're just fucking cried about it. You know what I mean? Hey, take it down. That's insulting. Fuck you. Fuck you. How about you defend yourself like a fucking man, you coward? I've been waiting to use that word for a minute. But for real, like, if you can actually prove the article wrong in a manner, do it. And if you can't, which is kind of what we're seeing, you know what I mean?
Right. It, you know, you say something about me, and instead of, you know, that Ben, he robs banks, right? Mm. And instead of me saying, no, I don't, and showing you how all your dates I was doing, I had an alibi or something. Instead, Christian goes on the air and says, I stand behind Ben, that he's not a bank robber.
Yeah.
Good as that.
Well, he's, you know, morally bankrupt, and I wouldn't let him near my children or silverware. He is not a bank robber.
So I guess ultimately, you know, for the casual fan, why is this important? Well, it largely has to do with the state of the club, its direction, and most recently, the incredibly important post of Clemens Fritz as the next sporting director, which, if it proves to be a bad move, is going to be a 2-year experiment at a minimum that we may not ever be able to recover from. So let's go to the article itself. I'm going to skip over a lot of areas that don't deal with the first team primarily. There's a lot of other accusations pertaining to the Werder Frauen, a few administrative areas. Might be interesting to you if you want to follow up on those in yourself. But anyway, here we go. So according to information from the Deichstube, the 63-year-old is strongly criticized internally and is to be persuaded not to run for another term of office and to clear the way for a successor by 2026 at the latest, after 12 years in office. The trigger for the new debate is the behavior of HHG at the end of last year. He suddenly disappeared for weeks and was no longer reachable, and had only informed one person about this at Werder Bremen, who, however, could hardly provide any clarification. Nobody knew how HHG was doing and when he would return. As a result, the search for a successor to managing director Frank Baumann stalled out. As chairman of the supervisory board, HHG had declared this important personality to be the chief matter, and then he suddenly left. Therefore, it took some time with the other members of the supervisory board to really start the process and find possible candidates together with a commissioned agency, as planned, to find alternatives to the internal solution of Clemens Fritz. In mid-January, HHG was suddenly back and is said to have immediately criticized the work of his colleagues in the search for a new Baumann. Of course, that wasn't received well. And we're going to skip down. Regarding the presentation of Clemens Fritz as Baumann's successor, although it had been stressed that all possibilities had been examined to find the best solution, he himself is said not to have had much interest in it. He apparently wanted to go the simple route with Fritz. So, is this why, after 1.5 months of announcing Frank Baumann's retirement, we had a list of absolutely insane options, and then all of a sudden there was radio silence until about February, when we learned about Schicker. And was Schicker and possibly other reasonable candidates, I don't know, as a result of the consult agency? Like, did HHG come back and basically try and squash any hope that an alternative would be openly announced or given an opportunity? Like, were the options such a genuine risk to his plan of Fritz coming in that he had to come back and kill it? What was his disappearance in actually an effort to sabotage the recruitment of a replacement so that they had no choice but to go with Fritz? That's what I start wondering. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Chris.
Well, I don't doubt any of this, because this is sort of in line with all the sort of horse shit we've seen over the last couple of decades. I am curious to know what HHG gets out of disappearing and pushing for Fritz. You know what I mean? Like, sure, it's another yes man that probably works under him, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe in this Werder family bullshit. That's just like a guise or a mask to have people continue to have cushy jobs and reap benefits. You know what I mean? But I want to know what his benefits were from keeping Fritz in that role or putting Fritz in that role? You know what I mean? That's what I'm genuinely curious about. Outside of, like, it could very well be he's lazy as fuck. And, like, genuinely, it's too much work, like, which is kind of fucking astounding. I'm not going to put it past. I mean, you know, people are incredible sometimes. But, oh, do we really have to do an interview? Can't we just get Fritz? Come on. Can't we just get him? It's so easy. He's a nice guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that sort of shit. But I do wonder whether there is, like, something else in there that we don't know about. Also, I would love for some leaks to come out. Like, I want Dykstube to like, not just double down, but triple down. Get some fucking leaks. Come on. Well, give us the dirt, man.
I think he's got somebody leaking info from the inside, because he cites, you know, sources at Werder say, sources here say. So, I mean, you can look at that and say, okay, well, you can say sources say. But again, we say, well, if he made it up, prove it wrong.
Yeah.
If it's right.
100%.
If the source isn't good, you know, prove it wrong.
Sure.
I'm going to skip ahead here.
Like, literally take it to court. Like, if Bremen feels that fucking, I mean, they're always in court though. We're such a litigious club, but I mean, like, sure, take them to court then. Like, sue them for fucking, what's the word I'm looking for there? Put it in print. Libel. Sue them for libel. You know, if you know the truth, sue them for libel. Show us that it's not true. Cause I don't fucking believe you.
The way that I see it is that you got a couple of options as a casual follower of this. Bjorn Knips hates his life and he's looking to end his career in a flaming heap of smoldering ash. Right?
Seems that's fair. Trying to get out of his contract.
there's truths. Option two, there's truths in the article and Knips has just embellished them, maybe. Yeah. And then the last one that I have is the one actually I'm leaning towards, mostly because I enjoy it. That there is actually right now at Werder Bremen, there is an internal coup attempt. Knips has real relevant sources within the organization who are trying to force a change. It's politics 101 when you think about it. Yeah. If you are running an internal if you're running internal subterfuge campaign,
absolutely,
right, you disclose information to a reputable reporter, right?
Yeah,
and Dykstube fits. You know, that as a reputable reporter, having been a Werder bum licker for however many years, you know, so you tell the reporter, when this comes out, I'm denying everything, and I'm going to join the club in condemning the article and condemning you. But the goal is going to be to create enough suspicion and intrigue for two things to happen. Number one, it creates pressure and causes your mark to resign, or, you know, in a huff, the media now begins investigating the claims of the report only to confirm the truths, creating additional pressure on your mark to vacate. Either way, it's an assassin's move. Honestly, that's the only reason I could think that this article gets printed. That's the only reason I could see the Dykstube doubling down. It's the only reason I could see somebody like Bjorn risking his career to print this, is that he has got somebody up at the tippity-tippity top that either wants HHG out of there, wants his job, yada, yada, yada. And they're leaking him the info. And so he knows he's good.
Yeah. It's on some succession shit. I kind of dig it. Some corporate espionage. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see if anything comes of it. Maybe nothing will. I can also see it just being buried and we find out like 10 years from now, once we've, you know, we're sitting in like a fourth division.
Ignoring important fields. Stuff is something we are amazingly good at.
Oh, incredible. Incredible.
Pardon me. I've been fighting a cold here all week, so I apologize. I might have to cough here soon. But I also had a thing I wanted to get to eventually. We'll get to it next week. There was an interview done with Johannes Jans, with Transfer Market that I think is really important, that we talk about the guy that's building our squad. So, we'll get to that next week. But right now, I want to get to a pile of questions for Christian, because there are a pile. You ready?
Dung heap. Let's go.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hot should Ole's seat be? How hot is it actually? So the scale, I'm going to make the scale here. Okay. Hold on. So with 1 being, as hot as a husky truck stop prostitute and
love it. Lot lizards.
And 10 being as hot as Buchanan's mom. How hot is Ole Werner's seat for real, and how hot do you think it should be?
It should be Buchanan, Buchanan, Buchanan. Sweet, sweet Buchanan's mom, a number 10, or at least a 9. You know? What is it right now? Maybe like a 5. I think I'm starting to see a lot more people pissed off about it, but once again, through a barometer that is not even a real thing. So like Instagram comments, Twitter comments, those aren't fucking real, but I mean, they're just, it's a kind of more, I'm seeing more of it than I have previous.
I would just like to remind our listeners of two things. Number one, Werder Bremen went the last 10 games of a Bundesliga season not firing the coach in an absolutely must win situation, and on the last game day when it was absolutely, there's a gun to your head, then they put Thomas Schaaf in. Okay. Secondly, after the team was relegated, there was a massive protest outside of the stadium. The team was relegated and Baumann and Fritz kept their jobs. So how hot do you think the seat is actually? It's not even warm. It's not even tepid.
It's not even the heat of a fart passing through Werner's cheeks onto the, you know, that McDonald's chair.
Yeah, the Brazilian butt lift aside, it's not hot at all. Yeah. All right, next question. Christian, is Demar a bust?
No. I get why people are annoyed with him, frustrated. I don't think he's a bust, man. If he was a bust, he'd be like Leukemia. Leukemia was a fucking bust. Who was that French guy we had last season, I think, who maybe played like 2.5 games? He was like a striker / winger. Those guys are busts. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Asale. Those guys are fucking busts. Like, they're not Bundesliga caliber. They just shouldn't. I don't understand how they even made their, you know, make a living playing football. So let's. I get that people get excited. They're upset maybe with how his form has dropped, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think he's a bust. Once again, I wonder how good he'd be if we had a coach who knew what he was doing, you know?
I'm going to put him down as a $4 million bust at this point in time. If he had come for $1 million, if he'd come for free, I would have a lot more tolerance for it. At $4 million, that cost the club a lot. And, you know, I don't know. I would love to understand why the mistakes he's making are so brutal. Like, because he doesn't just make small mistakes. When he makes them, they're pretty blood, like they're bad. So I don't know if that's just super bad luck or what that is. But again, at $4 million, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, obviously, you know, there's next season, we'll see what happens, but I was especially the way he started off with the team to really have this much decline is just really disappointing. Okay. are you actually concerned this team will be in a relegation battle this season?
I don't even know anymore, to be honest. I mean, I guess it's in the back of my mind, but I'm not like losing sleep over it. It's entirely possible. I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. Once again, I think, as pointed out by several people, including Sooner, you know, there are quite a few teams that are worse than we are, which is fucking insane. But I mean, look at our next run of games coming up. That doesn't exactly scream success, does it?
So depending, I mean, this, I don't like believing in things like karma, but I'll do it.
Fair.
Truthfully, there's just way too many similarities starting to line up and stack up. And I don't, the sheer ignorance of fans that are just being like, well, they could never catch us, so we're fine. Right. Yeah. It almost just feeds into whatever this negative energy is that's going to be hitting this, like, and that's just how I feel about it. I genuinely look at him like, we're tempting fate, and I hate it. Because if you tempt fate makes you its bitch every time.
Well, that's my thing, too, is like, you kind of want to see those people's faces when shit goes wrong. But I like, I'm involved in this, too. I'm invested.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cut my nose off despite my face, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why I'm not 100% bought into it yet. I just don't want to.
I don't want to. I hate losing. Oh, do I hate losing? Yeah. So much do I hate losing. And I hate losing even more than proving other people wrong or owning somebody in an argument. I just hate losing, which is why it bothers me that, you know, it bothers me that we're even 10 points in a league this shitty. It bothers me that we're 10 points away from the playoff position. That bothers me so much. Moving on here. How terrifying is it that we could find out at any time now that we have lost Visor, Voltamod, and Dinchy in the summer?
I've just assumed that we're losing all three of them.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Dingshi's gone. Voltamada, I think, is probably like 50-50. And I think Visor, depending on where we land in the table. But I don't think we're going to land well. So I'm sure he's gone too. Why would he want to stick around here?
The fact that we didn't re-sign Visor when we were tickling Europe's bum was kind of my signal that he's gone.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, I forgot there was even potentially was leaving until you just brought it up now, but it doesn't shock me in the least. Why not, right? Yeah, seems about right.
And he's probably our number one creative impulse too, which is terrifying when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, okay, moving on. You've seen a bit of Skelly Alvero. And this lines up with a bet on it or against it. So I'll give you a bet on it or against it and then a little context. So Alvero stays and becomes a regular for next season. And the question was, you've seen a bit of Skelly Alvero. Is he worth $6.5 million to Werder in the summer?
From what I've seen, I kind of hate trying to put price tags on these dudes because I genuinely don't know what.
Just commodities, Christian. Put a price.
It's not that put aspect.
Put a ball gag on them and get them moving.
It's not that aspect. I mean, I've been in human trafficking for some time.
Right. I'm perfectly fine with this.
Yeah. No, my biggest issue here is like, I don't know what 6 million can get us in like a bunch of other leagues, right? I just know what 6 million means to us. We don't have a huge amount of money. Like, I also know, like, for instance, 7 million for fucking Leo was fucking stupid. I'd say he's probably like anywhere from 4 to 6 million, sure, what little I've seen from him, but I honestly haven't felt like I've seen enough to really make a full decision on him. What little I've seen I've liked, but enough to invest $6 million, I don't know.
Price tag for me is the thing that bothers me. It also bothers me that the price tag is should be uncomfortable for Werder, which is also why we'd pay.
That's right. No, that makes sense.
Question. Does Malatini bounce back into the starting 11 before the end of the season without it being because of injury?
No. Simply no, just because it's Werner. And we know how he operates. He's not the type of dude. He'll never forgive him for any mistakes that he's ever made. Just the thought of playing youth is just a frightening concept. Oh God, no, man, never going to happen.
See that tweet that I posted in the Discord about the guy he showed the sub in of, now I'm going to get this wrong here. Just give me 1 second. He showed the sub in of, Hansen Aron and, Leon Opitz in the 89th and was all like, so for those of you guys that
fuck that man. Guy. The guy has no fucking clue what he's talking about. And of course, he's going to be the one to tell me that I'm the armchair fucking coach. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, a minute of game. That's
only
perfect.
Loves youth. He plays youth. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they don't score in the 5 minutes they get per game, well, then they're clearly a fucking failure. Yeah, that's 100%. It sounds like they work for the fucking Canadian Soccer Association. Jesus Christ.
All right, let's move on to some would you rathers. Would you rather see Dinchy return to Werder and Ole stays, or
no
Dinchy but a new manager?
No Dinchy but a new manager. Ideally, a new manager knows what he's doing. I guess there's no guarantee. That's not part of the conversation.
In the job advert, they should probably put that. We're looking for a manager, but this time, one who knows what they're doing.
I want you to be, when we say qualified, like you actually know how to fucking coach.
I mean, in a variety of different scenarios. We are our sporting director, but we do want that for the coach.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Everybody's qualified except for the fucking head of the organization. Brilliant. It's us to a T.
Would you rather keep Ole and Marv? There's, you see a theme going on here? Keep Ole and Marv or do this all again next keep Ole and Marv and do this all again next season or ball torture?
What kind of ball torture are we talking about?
This is what I told him when I responded. I'm like, Christian might actually have an appointment right now to go to Dom afterwards.
Like, is it like a light stomping or is it like...
Let's say feet are involved in high heels. You're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it. trying to think. So my brother lost a testicle. Sure he would love that I'm airing that. And it was doing some particularly dumb shit. But in that happening, one Christmas I was offering to buy him some nudicles, which is almost like a replacement testicle for dogs. So if you get your dog neutered.
I've seen those.
Now my only fear here is that I actually meet a lady and want to have children. You know what? I'm going to risk it. I'm going to die alone and unhappy. So we're going to go ball torture.
That's definitely making the best of it's not easy being 23, 24. Your brother lost a testicle. My gosh. Why people tune in for this program?
Shout out to Seabass and his one nut.
Oh boy. Okay, would you rather see Voldemort, Dinchy, and Alvaro leave or find out that your OnlyFans content has been duplicated from the start and has actually made someone else rich?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much dancing for my pimp anyway, so let's just go with the OnlyFans on that one. He's the one who's into ball play. Calls me his sweet little eunuch.
Well, the chef had asked, you know, if maybe it was because it was your landlord had installed the toilet cam.
Yeah, no, that's also a thing. I was only infuriated because I wasn't getting a cut.
Oh my god, I'm crying. Okay. All right, bet on it or against it. I told you, we got lots of questions, and if you guys send them in, I'll go through them all. You got it.
All right.
Bet on it or against it. Voldemort signs an extension with Werder. I think you already addressed that.
Oh, against it.
Sadly, I agree. I think he's gone, and we'll watch him be utilized somewhere else. Bet on it or against it. We will get 1 point the rest of the season.
Oh, against it. We're not getting.
Not even from Bochum at the end of the end
okay,
of the
season. Maybe one.
You must do really well in tough negotiations. Nothing.
Okay, just the one. By the way, I'm prepping my pizza here, so if there's noise in the background, fucking deal with it.
All right. So this one was sent to the, they said, I sent this in 3 weeks ago and you guys sold. I will re-rack it. Visor has not signed an extension by now, which means he's all but gone. And I said he's gone, and I'm thinking you're seeing this game now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that was just a question.
Yeah.
Is that all there is to it? Okay.
Bet on it or against it. Werder will be 15th in the table after the next 3 match days.
See, this is problematic because I'd have to 3 match days. Hold on. Oh, fuck. I cut out because I was going to look at the table. I'm going to bring my fucking tablet up. I need to see who else is playing, where Bochum, Köln, and all them are doing. Without looking at anything, I'll say no. But I wouldn't, I don't know. I'm not like super
convinced. The quick the quick Reader's Digest version. We're on 30 points, and from 11th to 15th is 4 points difference.
Okay.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams and 4 points difference.
Okay.
I'm thinking we're going to be 14th.
Okay. Yeah, 15th, that's believable.
Yeah. Okay, bet on it or against it. Keita is going to see 0 minutes for the remainder of the season.
No, but he'll get fucking close to it. You know, it's not going to be anything amazing.
Okay, and honestly, for people that are mad about people criticizing Keita, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't. When Keita gets transferred or gets bought by Werder Bremen, and he's this, you know, oh, transfer coup, Baumann masterclass, look at that, we spent $0, now we have 12 million in, you know, transfer value. Well, now he's down to 4 million. He can't complete passes during a game. He's gassed after 25 minutes, and the pass that he gave away in yesterday's match was the 2-0 lead for Wolfsburg. I mean, honestly, You can't have it both ways. You don't get to say this guy's an elite player, what a transfer coup, and then when it comes to a shitty game, being like, well, you can't criticize him. Well, the fuck I can't. Like,
absolutely, I can.
If he's that great, would it not be reasonable to expect more from Naby Keita?
Absolutely.
Than you would expect from Felix Agu.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Which means that if the whole team plays like shit, and Keita is a part of that, is it, if he's one of the players that should be able to elevate his game, why wouldn't they single him out?
Absolutely.
I don't care one way or the other. I genuinely don't. I'm so over the Keita thing by now. But
me too.
This idea that you're going to get mad that people are criticizing him, these are the same people that were, you know, doing laps outside their apartment with the Werder flag talking about, you know, Baumann masterclass, right? What a transfer.
Europe.
Yeah. You know, you can't tell me he's so great and amazing and then tell me I can't criticize him because he's as bad as everybody else out there. No.
For real. That's not how this works. Well, and this is a guy who, like, yeah, exactly. So then what are you? Are we seeing something that, or sorry, rather, are they seeing something we're not? So, like, did Keita actually have an amazing game and we're just a bunch of fucking idiots? Has this been there's so many questions they can go with. Yeah, it's horseshit. Yeah, you definitely don't get to do that. No.
All right, bet on it or against it. Werner will have 1.0 or less per game average. So, points. We just talked about he has 1.08 right now. Yeah. So he's going to have less 1.0 or less per game average after two full seasons and still manage to keep his job.
Yeah, bet on it. Which is fucking insane.
In a sense, I kind of hope he does, because that just it's just emblematic of the problem. It is the showy hood ornament on Werder Bremen's Cadillac. Ole Werner still has a job. You know, less than a point per game.
It's the truth.
Werder finished the season with less than 33 points, and I think you already alluded to this. We got 30. You're giving us one more, so 31 be less. I am saying that we will have 32 points. I think we're going to eke out two ties somehow. That's incredible. I think after this last showing, Ole Werner is going to do exactly like he did at the end of the first half of the season. He's going to go uber defensive. Defensive. He's just going to grind, like, he's just going to go grinding for ties now.
Brilliant.
Because he's done it. He's done it twice now in our Werder Bremen history. He has got scared. There's been criticism, whatever, and then he just reverts to this super uber defensive system.
Yeah.
That's my
bring best. Out Christian Gross. Put him on the field.
All right. Speaking of bringing people on the field, let's get Sooner Werder in here. I got to invite him as a speaker. And Christian, you can stick around for Sooner, I suppose. And then after that, we're going to get into the Werder history stuff, and you guys can both knock off if you want to. But while we're waiting.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner. Maggot. Sooner.
It's a rig system.
Maggot. Sooner.
Nobody can do it like Sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than Sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than
Sooner.
We'll totally accept the results if I win.
Hey, Sooner, how's it going?
How's it going, guys? Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah.
What's up?
Is the microphone working okay?
Yep. I can hear that beautiful dulcet tone.
Okay. Oh, I know you guys are always.
Mic, it wasn't working well.
I know you guys were saying before that everybody's favorite part is like nobody's better to people with disabilities than Sooner. But my favorite part is when it hits into the chorus and the first guy's like, Walmart.
I mean, that song is just the greatest song ever. It's really underrated.
I agreed. It's pretty fucking amazing.
All right, no, sir. Tell us what we're getting into here.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about Frankfurt a little. I almost said Freiburg. Frankfurt a little bit here. You brought up something that was actually a little bit interesting, Ben. We'll get to it in a second.
About how just a little bit interesting. I'm glad I could do that for you.
A little bit interesting, you know.
Don't blow his ego out of control here.
We'll get to that. We'll talk about playing defense in a second, though. So, Frankfurt.
Okay. Well, now your microphone's gone all squirrely on us. I don't know what happened.
Good or not? Not good.
No.
It's like breaking up.
Good shit.
Buddy, I feel your pain. I feel your fucking pain.
We got to figure out a different platform or something just so that the two of you guys can.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, just be like breaking in and out. Be like wartime sort of communications. Apparently, we got to invite him back in again. Okay, there we go.
Let's just do this here.
You should play the theme again. Don't actually do it. It's every time he drops, you got to play it. That's the rules. Sorry, man. The next half hour is just the fucking theme song.
Like my mic worked so well for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and then now anytime I try to use it, it's so stupid.
Well, now you're there, but you're pretty quiet. So lean in.
Skynet's how.
You're being serious. Can you hear me or not?
It's quiet.
Oh, I can hear you. Just ignore Juan or whoever the fuck that is.
What the fuck? Okay. So,
quality program.
Eintracht Frankfurt.
yelling from it.
they're not having a very good season compared to the last couple of years. But, you know, the last, you know, 2 years ago, they won the Europa League. And last year, they reached the knockout of the Champions League. So, you know, it's kind of hard to compare to that, I suppose. But they, let me see here, what's more. So they have 10 wins, 11 draws, 6 losses. It's not great. It's not bad. They're very good at home this year, which is where we're going to play them. They have, it's not great. 6 wins, 6 draws isn't great, but only one loss at home. And that was to Stuttgart by 1 goal. So that's not a really loss that you have to feel very bad about. Some players who are doing well for them. Omar Marmoush has been doing very well in the last 2 seasons combined for Wolfsburg and Stuttgart. He had 8 goals and 6 assists, and this year he has 10 goals and 6 assists, so he's really outperforming that. You got guys like Elias Skiri, who's like one of the best sixes in the Bundesliga for like the last decade, most of them for Cologne. And Robin Koch is also playing very well for them. He came in from Leeds last summer. I'm just looking through here some of the stuff I had written down. You know, they're kind of decent at most everything that they do. They don't score a ton, but they also don't give up a ton of goals. So, you know, just kind of, which is kind of, it's put them where they are. You know, it's not that surprising when you look at like their table, and if you've been kind of following the league at all, that shouldn't be that surprising. One thing I think is really interesting, though, is that they only get 2.8 saves per game. That's 14th in the league. And so like what that tells me is that their defense is, I mean, just really not giving up that many shots that need to be saved by the goalie.
Well, good news for them. We've got an offense that doesn't take many shots.
Right. where I think it kind of lines up with what you're saying a little bit. And if I had to try, if I was Ole Werner, which I mean, what a fucking that's either a frightening or incredibly amazing thought. I mean, like
I'd use my wage for a hair transplant if I was Ole Werner.
That's true. But I would probably be trying to go really defensive in this game. Frankfurt just played Union Berlin on the weekend, and I believe that was a 0-0 draw. They had 64% possession, 16 shots, 4 on target. Earlier this season, when they played Mainz, like the game before we played Mainz, Frankfurt played Mainz, and it was a similar type of thing. Frankfurt had 56% possession, 11 shots, three on target. I didn't get to watch the game against Union, but I watched a bit of that Mainz game that Frankfurt played, and they settled for tons of shots outside the box. If you remember the first game we played against them this year, you know, their goals were really fluky. They really are a team that I don't follow them a ton, I guess, as much as some people do, but they seem to be, if you kind of defend even halfway decently, competently, and you're committed to defending first and being a bit tighter in defense, they're more than willing to just let it rip from outside the box and take long shots. You know, that could be an interesting thing. I wonder if Ole Werner will react to that or not, and try to get a point. My lock, though, I was along those lines. I was kind of tempted to take a Frankfurt win and under 1.5 goals, because I think that Frankfurt are a team that are more than happy to just, like I said, to not force the issue, to not try to get the ball in dangerous spots, that, you know, they you don't have to defend that well, and they kind of just, you know, they start playing like we do on offense. Think about the defense that we're going to be playing, and I guess we haven't talked about this enough, I don't think, on the pod necessarily. How often were we talking about our defense is so great? Our defense. And right. I mean, like, we're about to play this game with a back line of, this is what I would do, a Friedel on the left, Milos Veljković in the middle, and Pieper on the right, or Malatini. I'm like, that smells like 2023 to me. It has 2023 Werder Bremen defense written all over it. That's not very good, even with Zetterer back there in goal. So I don't think that we're, even if we try to defend first and defend well, I think that Frankfurt's going to, have plenty of opportunities. So my lock for this game is going to be Frankfurt and over 1.5 goals. I got that for +135 on DraftKings earlier today. It's down now to +120, which means that I'm not alone in thinking this is probably a good idea. So if you want to hop on, you should probably hop on soon, because if you wait around too long, that might not be a very good bet anymore. But that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Frankfurt to win and over 1.5 goals scored in the game. That's my lock.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. Of the day.
Now, Sooner, you have to remember, I mean, you've given me crap for not talking enough about the defense. We've covered some pretty important content today, including Christian's brother's loss of testicle, the average, you know, one to 10 scale of a husky hooker, and Buchanan's mom. I believe we also covered, Christian, what are some of the other great content we've covered today?
Toilet cams, you know, whether I'm making money off mine or not.
There you go. What more do you want?
I mean,
Sooner, seriously.
You misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that, like, the fact that our defense is called the slip is like falling. What the hell is going on? That was really interesting.
Was that me with my Christian pizza? Yeah, no, that's definitely me with my pizza. I forgot. Whatever. Put some garlic butter on.
Our defense kind of sliding, you know, is easy to get buried by all those headlining, you know, pieces of news. And so it's just an important, it's like one of the little things you have to really make sure that you bring up.
Okay, tell us who's winning in the con. Your contest is just stupid, by the way. I got a full 4 points, and I didn't even, I went from eighth to eighth.
Well, here's the funny thing.
It's not funny.
You got the full 4 points, and I realized as I was looking at the standings, I was like, wait a second, where am I? Because I had this game picked pretty good. And I realized that I got the scores reversed. I put the 3 for us, and I put the 1. I had 3-1 as my pick for Wolfsburg, but I put 3-1 for Werder.
Oh, so, it's those little details you're talking about that you weren't paying attention to.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I did not get any points, and you're still behind me.
Shut up. I'm just happy that I caught up to King Ian, and he can go sit in the Winnipeg Bus Depot.
But yeah, Dirk 13 and Ben, yeah, they both had 2-0 wins for Wolfsburg. They got all the points. Condre and Christian also had 3-1 wins for Wolfsburg, so they got 3 points. Cacophony, 42. Dustin, Geppi, Juan, Lechef, and Spivey all got points for picking Wolfsburg to win. So here's the standings. As we're getting kind of close to the end here. We're well over the halfway point. We got Cacophony now in first place with 19. Dustin with 17. Christian's got 16 in third place. Dirt 13's got 15. And so does Geppi and Lechef. I'm in seventh place with 14. Ian's got 12. And so does Ben. Our fearless leader, Condre, El Comandante, and Matt Miller all have 11. Spivey's got 10. In 14th, it's a 3-way tie. We all have 3 ways here. and Struwed. And then let's
chimes in just for that.
I think that he just got a bite of the garlic butter he was putting on his pizza, maybe. And then
I was doing the vagina finger thing too.
What's better than a 3-way than a 4-way in 17th place with Big Ben? A 4-way with Big Ben.
Who doesn't want a 4-way with Big Ben? There it is.
4-way with Big Ben, Hair Doctor Tim, Juan, and Arun. I mean, sign me up for that. Jay's got 21 and Jay's got 5 points in 21st. Muhammad's got 4 points. Brian L has got 3, and I think I don't even need to say who is bringing up the rear. It's boring Anna with 0 points. I think that she's just not even making bets anymore.
I actually believe that boring Anna is the perfect troll, right? To give that as your moniker and then to like never pick is perfect. It's just perfect. It's exactly what our contest needed.
Anyways, that's the contest. Yeah, like we're kind of rounding towards the end a bit. We got like another 7 matches, I think.
Yeah,
but it's still. You've got like the top 10s all like within 7 points. I mean, and we've seen people shoot up, you know, with 15 points behind and then jump up to the end, jump up to the.
Well, and then after you put them through your damn Dominion counting machines, then we.
Hey, those what's it called? Like 37 mules or some shit like that? I can't remember that documentary that they all.
I'm not sure what Christian's OnlyFans special is. 37 mules or was it 38 mules or
38 mule Thursdays?
38 studs.
But yes, do keep on making your picks because you never know. Every point counts and. All that stuff. So
every point counts unless it doesn't. There right, you go. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sooner. Appreciate that. You guys got your Sooner lock. How many are you? Are you back on track with your locks now?
Two in a row. I went against Werder 2 weeks in a row, and they
didn't disappoint.
That's the funny thing, because I know that I was among maybe like a bit more. We started getting those results a little bit, but like what they're doing now is not surprising. It's not catching me by surprise. This is all going according to what I'm expecting. So I think this weekend's going to be the same.
Yeah. I mean, I think I put it into the game chat, the live game chat. I'm basically doing stuff for Kick Tip now. I don't even, because I got to catch Geppi. I got to beat him one of these times. I don't know why he's become my nemesis, but he is. And now I'm within striking distance again. Thank God. Taking him down. All right. Well, we're going to move into the Werder history. So Sooner, Christian, you can stay on if you want to. Really appreciate you guys. Nope. Okay.
I got to go eat pizza, man.
All right. Enjoy that.
All right. Take care, all.
It's better if you kind of like monologue this a bit. So I'm going to hop off too.
All right. Okay. We'll catch you later, Sooner. Thanks.
See ya. Thanks.
All right. So the next chapter that we're looking at, obviously chapter two, we did chapter one before, a little bit of a intro, I suppose. We're going to be going through the book written by Arndt Ziegler, Lebenslang Grün und Weiß, and just kind of walking through the chapters. I'm using Google Translate. I will be posting photos of the pages to the Discord afterwards. So again, if you're a casual listener to the show, you can jump on to our Discord, even if you don't want to participate in everything else that's going there. There will be a thread that's specifically dedicated to this segment of the podcast, where we just spend a little bit of time and develop a little bit of knowledge and I guess appreciation for the history of the club that we support. So the chapter two is titled Who Believes in Ghosts, and this covers the 1964-65 season. And so 1965 would be the first of the four Bundesliga titles Werder would lift in their history. This first title, only the second season into the fledgling Bundesliga. From the start, Werder were not considered favorites nor legitimate title contenders, especially after losing the first match of the season to Kaiserslautern, who were expected to be relegated that year. However, Werder would begin to put together a season where they rarely found themselves off the top spot in the league. In fact, in this season, Werder would be ranked in the number one position 2/3 of the entire season. So for those of you keeping score at home, in what was a 30-game season, Werder were in the number one spot for 20 of those games. This kind of season from the outset sounds as though they absolutely dominated the league, but it was far from it. The disparity in the league was very apparent, and title favorites Köln and Dortmund were right on Werder's heels throughout the entire affair. In fact, it wouldn't be until the last match day that Werder would solidify their position as the title winners. Now, every title run has its key contributors, and Werder's race to the top was no different. So key signings were made during the summer, and the team was able to quickly integrate them into what was a complex and often Jekyll and Hyde 4-2-4 system championed by the Hungarian national team. Those of you that remember last episode, we talked a little bit about that 4-2-4 system and that Werder were really struggled in their first year to come to grips with how to play it. The new players brought the necessary balance to that formation, and center forward Klaus Matyshek, I'm going to take a stab there, somebody can correct me, brought the goals. This was incredibly important as one of Werder's goal machines, Dieter Meier, and you may remember him from the last episode, had managed to finagle a way out of the club. So Meier had wanted to join the title favorites Köln in the summer, and used a series of kind of suspect maneuvers to make that happen. But Matyshek, who transferred from Schalke, had Werder fans forgetting who Meier even was after scoring 12 goals in his maiden voyage with Werder. So along with good new players and quick integration, which, and a slight aside on that, Werder made a trip to the U.S., during the summer of 1964. There's a really cool picture of a postcard in there that they all signed and sent back. It's really cool. And apparently it was during this trip and various other areas where the team integrated very quickly. And the coach at the time, and you'll read in one of the other articles, was very tuned in to the players getting along with each other, everybody, you know, working together and learning about each other, you know, just trying to create that familial atmosphere so that the players would work as a cohesive unit. So along with those good new players and quick integration, any title requires a little luck. So in the 1964-65 season, Werder would introduce a mascot. And would you believe it was a goat? Yes, just like their Cologne counterparts, a local Bremen butcher shop donated a goat to function as Werder's mascot. It was specifically brought for the game against Hamburg. The goat was affectionately named Pico after Werder legendary midfielder and captain Arnold Pico Schultz. Included in the chapter that I'm going to post is a nice write-up on Pico Schultz. And interestingly, the entire time Pico played for Werder, he never gave up his job working on the docks, which is really cool. The season would then crescendo on the second to last game of the season. Werder would face Dortmund and were expected to lose the game. And this would put Cologne in the driver's seat to finish off the season, as they had relatively easy games to finish things off. So on game day, it absolutely poured rain like crazy, but Werder would stake their claim as the top club in Germany, defeating Dortmund 3-0 and giving Cologne an impossible mountain to climb, and Werder a secure finish. The Dortmund game is also going to be featured in this article's, or in this week's selection. So there's a special little article that was written just on that particular game and kind of what transpired there. So there you have it, folks. It's kind of a recap of the 1964-65 season, the first Bundesliga title that Werder wins, the introduction of Pico, the mascot, which is just ironically a goat. I had seen pictures and sticker packs and stuff with this goat, right? And again, this goes to that thing. Like, I've been a fan for 14 years now. You know, and I didn't know about the goat. I seen these stickers with this goat on it, and I thought, okay, well, that's kind of weird. And it never really drew enough curiosity from me to figure out why there would be, you know, stickers with a goat on it. But yeah, it's really cool that in that 1964-65 season, he was kind of, the goat was kind of credited with some of the good luck charm of bringing that title to Bremen. So there you have it, folks. And like I said, I'm going to post this chapter in the Discord. Please feel free to jump on, and you can look through that. It'll obviously be posted in German. You can use Google Translate. I find that it works relatively efficiently. And for those of our German listeners who haven't had a chance to read through the book, you can obviously view it in the original German language. So that is going to do it for today's show. You guys got quite a sampling today from everybody. Thanks, of course, to Christian and Sooner for jumping on, helping us out, make this a real complete production. And just, I guess, as an aside, for those of you that don't know, just recently, as far as people that make content and stuff like that, 50 Plus Donair hung up the microphone and cords, I guess, just this last week. So he's calling it quits, and it's just another one of those things that, you know, as, if you guys listen to other podcasts, if you guys, you know, interact with other people's content out there, keep encouraging those folks. There was another guy actually that just quit this weekend as well. I'm trying to remember now. Shoot. It was one of the second division teams. Anyway, it wasn't, you know, didn't have a lot of followers, but again, you know, just somebody that's hanging it up, and it's really tough. And I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for other people. It is tough when you don't get any support from the club you do support. And it's tough when, especially for people that create video content, online content like that, that the Bundesliga is so strict with their copyright rules and things like that. It's really difficult for some people. And at times they have their Instagram, like, yeah, Brian had said his Instagram got taken down by Werder, you know, and then however many weeks later, they show a scout shows up, with a 125 anniversary jersey, right? It's wild. So I mean, kind of a mixed message that they're sending there, right? But it's you have to navigate a lot of stuff like that. So Christian and I, genuinely, we talked about it actually this week, and you listeners are who we do it for. You guys make this so worthwhile, whether it's the community that we have on the Discord, people talking on Twitter, the chat that we have during the live shows, and honestly, just the friendship that I've managed to create with Christian, King Ian, Sooner, and so many of you that listen. If I start listing people off, I'm gonna forget somebody, obviously. But it's really been it's been easy for me, if I can be so honest. A lot of folks have struggled out there with doing it's been easy for me because it feels like I'm hanging out with friends, and it feels like I'm hanging out with family. And yeah, for those that I hit my 8-year anniversary of doing the show. I thought it was only 7, but apparently Twitter reminded me that it was 8, which I think is, I don't think it's quite right. But anyway, 8 years, who would have thought, you know? And so for those of you that are brand new to the show, welcome to the family. And that's how I view you. So deal with it, I guess. Thanks for making this easy for me and really enjoyable. And with that, I am going to sign off before it gets too mushy. And we will catch you all here next week. And see if we're celebrating or continuing the lament. Join us then. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.